Good afternoon, fine gentlemen of Christendom. A Merry Christmas to all of you. I pray that you had a wonderful time with family, a wonderful time of year, the Christmas season. You know, there's a few dynamics going on. Number one, it's the end of the calendar year. And we like to think in terms of, you know, this year is over. Or this year is coming to an end. What have we achieved? What are the things that we've done, we've learned, we didn't like, that we want to change, etc. And we come to the new year and we have a new year ahead of us. So you have that energy happening. And then secondly, a time of family. You know, everyone gathers for family. You know, you finish work, you know, for maybe a week, whatever your off time is, your leave time, and you gather with family. And there's giving of gifts and eating of meals, singing of songs. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian household. However, we would still sing Christmas carols, you know. It was very interesting. It's been a really fun progression, if you want to call it that, of philosophy on what we call in South Africa, Father Christmas. And what is known as Santa Claus here in these United States. My father was Father Christmas for many years. He would dress up in red onesie with beard and hat, and he would drive the red Massey Ferguson tractor to the playground. So our family business was a holiday resort. We had like 100 campsites and about 40 cabins. So there'd be like, yeah, I don't know, over 100 families on the resort, you know, so you're talking like 100 to 200 to 300 kids, and all the parents would come and give the gifts at the reception building on Christmas Eve. And my mom and my gran would pack all of the presents into these huge postal bags, big old post bags. And my dad would drive in 7 a.m. in the morning on this red Massey Ferguson through the resort, through the campsite roads, shouting ho 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 Merry Christmas, and all the kids would run down to the playground, and he'd park the tractor and get out, and he'd have all these huge mail bags on the back of the trailer, and he would read out the kids' names, and they'd come and get their gift, and of course I knew that it was my dad, you know, so it's just funny. I don't know if I was ever a victim of the Santa Claus deception. I also don't know, because we weren't a Christian family, whether that affected my faith in authority figures or, you know, whatever the case is. I then went on to become, in the absence of my father, Father Christmas himself. I had my turn of driving the red tractor in and wearing the hugely oversized onesie to the delight and squeals of children everywhere. I even rode in on horseback once. Yes. So anyway, you know, my wife did grow up in a Christian household, and she also grew up thoroughly believing in Santa, and I think she had her heart broken. I don't know at what age, but you know, she had her heart broken when she found out that she had been lied to. And so pretty much all the brother and sister-in-laws, you know, we've all chatted about it, but like because we want to be obnoxiously Christian and we want to raise our children that God gives us, inshallah, in an obnoxiously Christian way, we're not going to do Santa Claus with our children. And old Boniface option on Twitter, I think he had a great one. He's like, whenever someone talks about Santa Claus, he's taught his children to say, Saint Nicholas is dead, but Christ still lives. Something to that effect. But I thought, you know, that's great. You know, there's no problem with Santa Claus. There's no problem with Saint Nicholas. There's no problem with giving gifts and, you know, having a fat old grandpa figure dress up as Saint Nicholas. And, you know, to have mythology and fun and, you know, there's no problem with that. There's no problem. you know, and understanding you don't want to poo-poo people's fun, you know, praise God for fun. But when it comes to being obnoxiously Christian, we're going to go the St. Nicholas route. And, you know, it's just fun. Like, and it's fun as well. It's fun in the meme too. You don't need to get offended with people who, you know, because that's the other thing. You don't want to be the killjoy. It's like, oh, Father Christmas is bloody demonic and satanic, let me tell you. You know, it's like, no, we couldn't care less. If someone wants to celebrate Santa Claus or Father Christmas, like, whatever, that's cool. Anyway, so, you know, that's another dynamic added to this end of year joy is all the Christmas presents and things like that. And so this is what I really want to hit on, is the mythology and the cultural, the holiday, the festival behind Christendom's biggest holy day. Andrew Quinn, welcome, brother. Drongo, good evening, or Merry Christmas. Ellen Adele, welcome, fine sir. Jacob Lee, welcome. I prefer Father Christmas to Santa. Patriarchy for the win. That's right. Yeah, man, it's hilarious. I don't know what the delineation is. I don't know if the New Zealand and Australia, if the Anzac boys call him Father Christmas or Santa. I'm not sure if it's like a colonial thing or anyway. RJJ, welcome, fine sir. Ellen, most of my friends were raised with the awareness that Santa Claus was mythological. Much better that way, I think. Teaching your kids to call him Satan Claus is a bit much. Yeah, exactly. Embrace mythology, particularly the true myths. You know, and so this is the great joy of it, you know. The great joy of mythology is that you actually get to have great moral learnings and great cultural depth. You know, it's okay to be like, oh, if we want to do the Santa Claus things, let's go full on deep into Saint Nicholas. Who was Saint Nicholas? And you can do a full deep dive into Saint Nicholas with your children, you know, and be like, hey, he punched guys in the face and he gave sweet gifts to orphan children. You know, like, oh, what a great mythology. You know, it's like, all right, boys, Christmas time. Let's get some boxing gloves and let's also wrap some boxes and then we'll have some fun. You know, that's wonderful. And why did Saint Nicholas do that? Well, because as a Christian whom Christ has redeemed, you know, why is Christmas, you know, because obviously growing up as a non-Christian, Christmas is just a wonderful time of giving gifts and Santa Claus and Christmas carols, singing about jingle bells and snow. But then you become a Christian, you know, and you're like, wow, you start diving into the powerful Christmas hymns, Christmas carols, about Christ's birth, about peace to the world, joy to the world, peace with God. You know, what is, you know, of like the whole thing with Christmas, what is the reason, you know, what the Christ is the reason for the season. And it's like, yeah, it's all these pithy little, you know, school mom sayings, but it's like, okay, but like, let's actually dig into the meme here. The birth of Christ is the freeing, you know, it's the start of the process that freed us from sin, that freed us from separation with God, that freed us from death. If you become a Christian, your whole life is in thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for bringing us back into peace with God. We were at enmity with God. We now have peace with God. Every man, you know, should he choose to believe and to confess Christ as Lord, we may have peace with God and everlasting life. And so you look at the songs, you know, we've been digging into some old Christmas carols and you're like, whoa, like this is powerful. Like it's moving, you know? And then you sing carols with other people in fellowship and you're like, whoa, this is moving. And so here comes the topic of our stream, of the importance of media, Christmas media. You know, you start looking at the subversion of Christmas carols coming in after the post-war, you know, after World War II, I think is when a lot of people say that, you know, a lot of these songs started moving off of Christ, moving off of the birth of Christ, moving off of celebration of peace with man and God, moving off of the festival of Christmas toward, you know, jingle bells and snowmen and, you know, just how can we slowly co-opt what is this? What is the festival? The festival is the birth of Christ. And we've co-opted it into a season's greetings, a season, you know, oh, let's go buy stuff and give gifts and consumerism. And, you know, so that's where the Christmas carols have all changed, you know, like silver bells, you know, like what the heck does that have to do, you know, or like, I'm dreaming. And it's a shame because these are flipping amazing songs. I love Silver Bells. I love Dreaming of a White Christmas, you know, and it's like, it's this absolute, we're going to celebrate this festival with none of the God to whom this festival is consecrated. And therein leads us to Hallmark, you know. Hallmark is like catnip for women. It's romance. It's the desire for a small town, high status man to be your husband. And it's like, whoa, that is so wholesome. You know, you look at Hallmark and you're like, set in these little small towns that are architecturally beautiful. They're homogenous and everyone knows each other. High community trust. The man is Hallmark hot. He's high status. He's, you know, either a you know, a rough man, a Christmas tree farm, a tree farmer, or the local doctor, you know, or a local business owner or whatever, you know, this high status man who is himself very moral. You know, he's not a playboy, he's not sleeping around, he's not whatever, he's a paragon of masculine virtue. And herein comes the subversion. The subversion is not some, you know, for us, it would be like, oh yeah, some 18-year-old girl who's had a wonderful family and her dad works with Hallmark hot Chad. And it's like, hey, Hallmark hot Chad, my daughter is ready to be married. And then they get married. They live happily ever after and have 8 children, homeschool them. He becomes a local legend by becoming mayor of the town. You know, that's not the case. That's not the case. The subversion comes in. When instead of a young 18-year-old girl whose father is looking out for her, it's a 38-year-old boss babe from New York City who's coming back to her parents who, you know, thought they did a good job. But, you know, here's the Sex and the City girl coming back. You know, I love that meme that I shared on Twitter with this link, you know, of like 30-something boss babe coming back from the city to visit her small town family, and then like the Undertaker coming up from behind, like a Hallmark hot dude who knows the real meaning of Christmas. But therein is the subversion, right? They've taken a kernel of truth. They've taken something that is so desirable, small town life, high status guy, family, homogeneity, culture. You know, because if you say, what is culture? A small New England town is a distinct culture. A small Dixieland, a small southern town is culture. And so, you know, we want that. And so that's why the subversion just, it's sugar with poison, you know. And so the subversion is that, you know, these women can go off to college and go off and live Sex in the City life, and there will be some moral, absolutely high status Hallmark hot guy waiting for them to rescue them from, you know, all of their consequence. You know, it's a consequence-free life. You can have it all. You can have college. You can have the 400 dudes, you know, that you've banged in the city. You can have, you know, the high status marketing job in the city, and then, all, you know, leave it all behind to come back to a small little city, small little town life where, you know, some upstanding, moral, handsome man will now marry you. And, you know, and a lot of these times there's instant family, you know, of like, oh, he's a widower with a little daughter. Like, won't you become the mother of this little, you know, it's like, man, the subversion is hot. And there's never anything about marriage. It's always just like the movie ends with them kissing and now in a sexual relationship. Copper Star, welcome, fine sir. Scott was hiding from me. I knew it. You know, I was on a festival hiatus. I was taught that Santa was continuing of bringing of gifts to believers of Christ. Well, that's great, man. There's the mythology. There's the frame. Praise God for it. It's a good frame. Alan, I really appreciate Chesterton's writings on Christmas and the value of mythology in general. Perhaps the greatest Western thinker in that regard. Yeah, praise God. I need to do some more Chesterton myself. But you know, I've seen little excerpts and quotes here and there, and you know, I really think that is the power for us in the Anglosphere. You know, you look at Lord of the Rings and the whole work of Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and Chesterton of, you know, you get this. You can build mythology with our morality, with our cultural value system, right? What is Lord of the Rings but a celebration of bravery, of virtue, of sacrifice, of in-group preference, of heroic mission-focused men saving their people and place from an outside exploitation and abuse. It's the respect of other peoples and the ability to ally with adjacent peoples in one mission. You know, wow, what a mythology, you know. It's the same with St. Nicholas or Father Christmas, whatever you want to call it, of like, you need to build mythology. You know, it's the same with all of our Christmas carols and our movies and everything. And so here's where I really want to get to today, because this is exactly it, you know. Entertainment shapes the beliefs of billions of people. Entertainment is what shapes people's beliefs. Now, entertainment is a broad word. You could use mythology, you could use story, you could use recreation, you could use celebrity, you could use escapism, fantasy, sci-fi, whatever, fiction. But entertainment shapes beliefs, you know? And so you even look at it like Lord of the Rings, you know, reading a book is entertainment. It says, do you need to read a book? No, you know? Nah. I hope you guys have all seen that Jim Bob ripoff of Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro in a coffee shop. And he's like, Ben Shapiro's like, Jordan Peterson, he's doing a voiceover mockery of them. It's wonderful. But he's like, Jordan, he's like, so do you come here often? And Ben Shapiro's like, nah. I'd never come to a place like this. It's great. Entertainment shapes beliefs. You know, no one needs to read a book unless it's like a manual, right? Oh, I need to read this book on how to fix my car. I need to read this book on how to plant food. I need to read this book. You know, we read a lot of men, especially, we read a lot of books on how to, which is wonderful stuff. But we also read a lot of books on biographies, on history, on fantasy, on fiction, you know, of like, It is a pastime. It is, you know, of our culture, especially reading is the number one. It has been through the centuries, the number one form of recreation, of relaxation, of entertainment. Going to plays, you know, going to theater, going to the cinema now, watching movies now, going to church, you know, and a lot of pastors would take exception to this of like, I'm not entertainment, I'm deep theological, you know, it's like, no, in a certain extent, you know, especially for the extroverted amongst us, church is one of the most looked forward to forms of entertainment. Like, it's enjoyable to go to church. It's enjoyable to be encouraged and to have fellowship and to sing worship together. You know, God's not offended that you would be entertained by something that is also very wholesome. Like, my wife is not offended if I say that I am entertained when I spend time with her and converse with her or do stuff with her. It's like, no, like, I find it entertaining. I find it enjoyable to do. And so entertainment shapes beliefs. You know, how does it do this? You know, obviously theater and writing and you know, literature, all of this stuff, you are putting into story form morals. You know, that is the basis of every form of story, is either origin, meaning, morality, or destiny, you know. Why do women love romance writing so much? It's because it's a form of meaning, right? For women, relationships is the like number one thing of meaning in women's lives, you know. Why do men love biographies and history? Meaning, you know, mission is the number one purpose in people's lives, in men's lives. You know, so we love writing that caters to that meaning and that origin and that destiny and that morality, right? For us, you know, you read stories of like of war and, you know, militarism and all this stuff. They're teaching you morality, you know, of like chivalry and heroism, you know, honor amongst men. You know, it's entertainment shapes beliefs. You know, you look at sports, right? all my growing up, all the rugby players, rugby was like, it was hilarious because every time a guy would come up, you know, you'd be watching a rugby match on TV. And at the end of the match, you know, the guy comes up for man of the match, shakes the hand, gets his little prize or whatever. And he's like, I would just like to thank the Lord Jesus Christ who gave me strength to play this game. And I'd like to just say thanks to the chaps. And, you know, it's like, I'm telling you right now, 99% of guys, my whole growing up, you know, my whole teenage, young and teenage years watching rugby on TV, 99% of guys without, you know, like, you'd be hard pressed to find a guy who didn't. When he came up to accept man of the match or, you know, winning captain, losing captain, come get an interview, they'd all be like, oh, I'd just like to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like to thank God for protecting us out on the field today. Like, that was it. That was, they were forming the morality of all of us young guys. You know, I went to school with a bunch of heathens, let me tell you. But there was no qualms about kneeling down before every rugby match and we'd all pray as a team, because that was what was modeled by the celebrities. You know, that's what was modeled by the entertainers. You know, so no one had an issue with it. You know, now, you know, just like to kneel for the blacks because that's the new religion. You know, and so now that's what's being portrayed. That's what's being normalized, right? Entertainment normalizes behavior. Mr. Max, welcome, fine sir. Merry Christmas to all. Reminder, Christmas lasts 12 days. Where are we in these 12 days? Excuse my liturgical illiteracy. I remember when my eldest sister came to me all grave one day when I was a child because she found out Santa wasn't real. I never believed in him, so I just replied, I know. Oof. That was a hard letdown for your sister. Copper Star, I'm dreaming of an Aryan Christmas. You'd have to sing that in pure high German, please. Drongo, lying to children is the main issue. I'm not particular about traditions otherwise. There is no reason to deceive or scare children in order to play dress up or whatever. Exactly. That's exactly our moral point in this. You know, I'm 100% happy to talk about Saint Nick. I'm 100% happy to reframe Father Christmas. We just can't lie about what's going on, you know. Copstar, if you haven't lied to a child, then you haven't talked to him long enough. Well, sir, those little guys will smoke you out. RJJ, instant family equals Full House style. I probably, thankfully, never watched Full House. Was it wholesome at once? I don't know. Drongo, definitely not necessary in my opinion. Jacob Lee, Tolkien's letters from Father Christmas are great. I have never read them. Drongo, Ben Shapiro having conversations about conversations with JP was hilarious. I actually never watched The Real Deal. It probably would be hilarious as it is. Copperstar, is rugby as gay as soccer? It's actually pretty masculine, let me tell you. Nice thing about rugby, it's a blood sport. I'm kind of supportive of most blood sports. Like, I don't watch UFC or boxing or anything like that. Like, I watched old, what's the Irish bloody legend? Anyway, I watched the highlights of his fight just because he was such a meme, and God bless him. But I've never been attracted to blood sports, you know, just straight up martial sports. But for me, rugby was really good in making sure I was not a soy boy. Mr. Max, Christmas goes from December 25th to January 6th. Hey, babe. Christmas goes to January 6th. We've taken down all our decorations. We need to put them up. This is good news to me, Mr. Max. This is actually very nice. It doesn't just end the day after. It's very great. Alan, rugby is more akin to hockey than soccer in terms of masculinity. I don't mind soccer. I was never very good at it. And I suppose if you're very skilled, you know, you can play. Whereas I feel like rugby, probably the same with hockey. There's different, you know, every single boy can play. You know, if you're just a big boy who doesn't have very good ball skills, there's still a part for you to play. And if you're a small boy with really good skills, you know, you can play. You know, so it's a great team game. You know, where soccer, I feel it's like just 11 really fast dudes with good ball skills and good hair, and they like to fall down and roll around. I personally would not roll around too much. Copper Star, baseball and boxing are Max Chad energy. Baseball for me, you know, I like the I like the quote or comment that it's an American pastime. I played cricket, and you know, it's fine when you're playing it, but to watch cricket, it's like, I don't know, man. I feel the same way with baseball. I'm sure when you're out there hitting a ball or throwing a ball, it's pretty fun, but to watch it, I don't know. Drongo, crap, our Christmas is 24th. Perhaps this is cheating. You got to get in early on those presents, my friend. But that's it. You know, it's coming from a heathen background myself. You know, we never had any mythology or any liturgy or, tradition to uphold. You know, we just had our morning Father Christmas run. And then we'd have a nice roast in the afternoon and unwrap presents and everything like that. This perfect, oh my gosh, you're not a Christian if you don't follow these five steps to Christmas. You know, it's like, no, that's, you know, whatever. But I think it is important to start building traditions, you know, start building a family culture, you know, around festivals. And so I really wanted to hit on this as well, is to be very aware of what the media we are consuming is framing for us, what morals they are framing for us, what, you know. And obviously, you know, we would just put on playlists of like, oh, Christmas playlist or whatever. But it's like, no, we started seeking out like actual Christ honoring, you know, songs to play, you know. And it's like, man, it's so much better than, you know, Mariah Carey or, you know, Elvis or whatever. God bless you, Elvis. But, well, he did have some songs that honor the Lord. So I'm 50-50 on Elvis. But I really wanted to hit this thing of framing stated preferences, you know. So especially with Hallmark, man, like, you know, we need to get in on some script writing and production here, fellas. But you know, when you look at Hallmark and maybe even just like romance books, like, you know, Karin Kingsbury and you know, whatever else in that genre. But romance books are, you know, are huge for ladies. You know, and in shaping the morality and shaping their worldview and what is acceptable and what's normal, you know, and that's the power of Hallmark, is it's basically just romance novels made into, you know, theater and cinema. And so the real, you know, the big kind of operating system of most Hallmark / even kind of Christian romance, at least Christmas romance, you know, the festival themed romance, Thanksgiving themed romance as well. It goes around the deal of these old washed up actresses, you know, so you have these 30 to 40 year old actresses ending up with Captain Small Town America. And so we need to be rewriting morality. We need to be rewriting the norms of culture. You know, where we are celebrating, you know, you need romance books, you need fantasy or fiction, whatever you call it, books, and then screenplays that are normalizing, you know, girls preparing for marriage in their teenage years, you know, of, you know, having been discipled by their mother and father, you know, and then, you know, having men, you know, getting ready to be married by 21 and crushing in business and crushing in their domain, you know, so that by the age of 21, they can turn around and marry a teenage girl and have children and then homeschool them. And, you know, like what, there's a whole genre of morality framing romance that is just waiting to be produced, I suppose. You know, because that's it. You know, as people get hungrier and hungrier for patriarchy, as people get hungrier and hungrier for tradition, as people get hungrier and hungrier for an escape from clown world, the first thing they look for is entertainment. You know, entertainment is the escape. Entertainment is framing. Entertainment is the vision, you know. And even like, you know, with Talking Heads, you know, like primarily, you know, people watch Talking Heads for entertainment. It's to pass time. It's a past time. You know, you watch this because you've got a half hour or an hour to spare. Like, oh yeah, I'll watch this because it's entertaining to me. It's interesting. It's fascinating. But more than that, it's like, yeah, you know, this is entertaining, you know, whatever. And so we just have to be very aware that, you know, there is a huge need in the media domain for entertainment. You know, whether, if you can write, if you can produce, you know, if you can figure that kind of thing out, you know, man, what a huge market. Alan, watching televised sports is already questionable, but any American who watches soccer, he is not to be trusted. Rob, good afternoon, fine sir, and welcome. Henry Parks, welcome, fine sir. Cricket is great to listen to in the background whilst doing other things. I don't know anyone who binges it. You know, I feel that way with 5-day test cricket. I enjoy, yeah, having 5-day test cricket on in the background, but I couldn't be bothered to sit down and watch a 20-over or a 50-over match. RJJ, I have a Jehovah Witness Advent calendar. When I knock on a door, it tells me to get lost. Oh, it's very good, sir. Very good. Brian Croissant, welcome, fine sir. I hate Hallmark movies. You know why? Because you can tell the whole storyline in the first 5 minutes. That's why. But don't hate the game. Hate the players. We need to start playing the game. We need to play the game of Hallmark. Copper Star, where is the movie about the looter who stole Kwanzaa? That, sir, that would be a absolutely fine manuscript. You'd probably make some money. You know, and here's the thing as well, Brian. You know, with hating Hallmark, I was the same way. You know, I was like, oh, Hallmark, it's so stupid. It's so cringe. You know, it's so tropey. But when you understand memes and the power of meme magic, you can actually start studying the art form of the Hallmark movie. You know, and what is it about the Hallmark movie that is such a trope? You know, and I think that's why we detest it as traditional men, is because we see the subversion of what is actually wholesome. Wholesome small town, you know, wholesome man of the high status man of the community. And so when you watch a movie like that, you're like, whoa, this is a beautiful town. I want that. And then you get all black-pilled and you're like, I don't have that. I have a strip mall and a Walmart and a McDonald's and 4 gas stations and a bunch of houses built out of vinyl. I don't have a beautiful little town. You know, and then you're like high status guy, you know, Captain Small Town America. And you're like, okay, Captain Small Town America, like, what are you going to do with your life? Are you based and crushing? And he's like, no, I'm simping after a 35-year-old woman, you know? And you're like, come on, buddy, you know? So I think we need to enter the game of Hallmark and use the power of trope, use the power of cringe, toward our morals, toward our vision, as it were. Drongo, I too always listen to cricket in the background. Cricket is an insect, yes?
Oh, very good, sir. Very good.
Cricket is indeed an insect, but in the Anglosphere, it is a... Man, I don't know why we care so much about it as a sport. It is fun. You know, when you're batting or bowling, it's pretty fun. But if you're watching it for, you know, 5-6 hours, it's... I don't know. Maybe I'm just so far out of it. Who knows? So the second part about Christmas music. So when you look at Mariah, is it Mariah Carey who sang All I Want for Christmas Is You? So she made like bajillions and continues to make bajillions of dollars every Christmas because her song gets played and she gets royalties. God bless. You know, you look at like any group, you know, there's that group of absolute liberals, Pentatonics. You know, they make tons of money by just covering, you know, it's not even their songs. They're just covering songs. And it's like, chaps, we are starved for entertainment from our guys. We are starved for good media from our guys. And it's like, you know, if our guys made a Christmas album, it's like, that's, you know, that album is going to get played a million times every December. You know that there's at least 50 to 100 million people who want deep Christian honoring music. Like, you're gonna make bank, and God bless you for it. You know, I think there's so many musicians out there who are like, you know, I need to make it on my own as an indie Christian guy. And it's like, make Christmas music. Go copy old great songs. You don't even have to do the work. You just have to sing nicely and make good accompaniments. You will make bank, and God bless you for it. You know, and I think it's the same way for, you know, movie making. I don't know, like, maybe releasing it through YouTube and monetizing it that way. But like, there has to be a way to make bank from entertainment that our people want that they cannot get. You know, I would understand, you know, no TV network picking up our based Hallmark movies. You know, totally understandable, you know. But it's like, can we get it out another way? You know, is there a way to get our entertainment to our people? Brian agreed. We are definitely missing the mark with telling great stories. And I think, you know, and that's it as well, is just telling good stories. And I think that's why the podcast scene has exploded, you know, because again, it's like people are starved for conversations that they deem interesting. You know, that's why you can have, you know, dudes chat for like 3 hours on what would bore 99% of people, but that 1% are starved. That 1% are starved for it. And, you know, that's where it is exactly that, telling great stories for people who, you know, no one's telling stories to them. You know, right now, all of our stories are just to the boss babes, you know. Ellen, small town girl, returns from first year of college to discover that nearby kid from high school has become a fastest powerlifter. He defends her from a jugger and they have 12 children.
Sir.
Did you just write the first script? I am very impressed. This is remarkable. Gentlemen, we have our first script. Alan, you better get onto it and what do you call it? License it or something. Very nice. Mr. Max can be our protagonist, powerlifting fascist. I hear he has good form. It could also just be a documentary of how Mr. Max meets his in real life wife. I don't know. We'll take as an actress. It'll be like searching for an actress, must be Catholic, must be in first year of college. We're going to red pill you to quit college. Yes. I see it now, gentlemen. I see it now. I see it all. I'm trying to think with Christmas, all our wonderful things we've done. Got a lot of wonderful gifts from family. So that was really fun. Lots of nice clothes and some tools and things, which was wonderful. Went to the Creation Museum for the Night Lights show. There's a Creation Museum down in Kentucky by the Answers in Genesis guys. And just, you know, walking around there, it really is, again, it's a form of entertainment, right? Entertainment, you know, having a little theme park, as it were, where people can go and visit and take their family and be entertained, you know. And they are hard pushing, you know. It was hilarious with my brother-in-law. We were just chatting. I was like, is this place going to be like neo-Nazi Christian? You know, because you're like, you know, all you want is like based fundamentalist, old school Christian theme park, you know, of like like almost cringe. And my brother-in-law was like, no, like you're going to be pretty disappointed. They're pretty tame, pretty vanilla. And they're like, oh man. Because, you know, I think at one time, like probably in the 2000s, there was that trope, you know, that like homeschool fundamentalists were like basically just neo-Nazis. Hilarious. Anyway, but again, a great, you know, a great need. You know, you look, man, like their landscaping and how they did their show and everything, it's like, man, this is done excellently. It's done really well. You know, and again, I'm not big on the dinosaurs. You know, again, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. You know, but it's like, regardless, they are moralizing through entertainment, you know, through giving people something to come to. You know, it's the same way with, you know, growing up in a resort business. You know, I hated the hospitality side of it. You know, I hated working in the restaurant and working in, you know, doing the actual work of hospitality. God bless everyone who does. There has to be a better way. But the concept of it, you know, providing a beautiful retreat for families to come and have family time and enjoy nature and make friendships with other families. And, you know, what a wonderful business, you know, what a wonderful industry, you know, to provide for people. And then the other thing on that was architecture. You know, that's the other side of this Hallmark trope, you know, is these small, beautiful towns, beautiful farms, beautiful buildings, beautiful streets, beautiful businesses. You know, it is a call. It is a call to normalize, you know, we should have beautiful Main Street. We should have beautiful homes, you know. And it's not taken away against the utility of stuff, you know, again, the price of everything. And you know, we are where we are, you know, but it's like we need to be trying. Contextually, it's pretty, you know, it's really hard to build a brick house or a brick Main Street where we are right now in our contemporary clown world, you know, but we need to be heading that way. We need to be heading back to beautiful landscaping and beautiful buildings and beautiful atmospheres and environments. You know, we need to be building beauty into our environments, you know. And then a last kind of call is for all of you fine gentlemen to lean into the trope of Hallmark hot gentlemen. You know, it really is when you study the trope, learning how to dress, you know, better in public, learning how to carry ourselves better in public, and not in a LARPy kind of way, but everything is a LARP at the beginning. You know, we don't want to be, you know, just, oh, I'm just some random guy. It's like, no, you need to frame your own life as, you know, you are a central character, a protagonist, if you will, of your mission, of your purpose that God has given you. You are God's top guy. And you don't want to get into the gay kind of, oh, your life's a movie. You need to be, it's like, no, but you need to think of it this way of like, you are a high value man. You are one of God's top guys. And so just taking, again, that trope of like, what do we love about Hallmark small towns is architecture and beauty and small town and homogeneity and culture and high trust society, blah, blah, blah. So what are the same things that people love about Hallmark hot guys? What's the trope? Well, they're well-dressed, they run their own business, or they're a professional, or they are, you know, it's like, okay, you know, the tropes still stand of what it means to be high status in your community, you know, so to lean into that as well. Mr. Max, the subject reminds of a trailer for a movie that was recently released, The Northman. It looks decent, not anti-white. Someone on Gab was asking, how is this allowed? I assume it will be anti-Christian, pro-pagan. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, you know, when you see movies that are not explicitly anti-white, yeah, you ask the question, you're like, wait a minute, like, where's the subversion, you know? Because that's the other thing is like, you know, they'll make a movie with like wholesome white families, you know, or wholesome Christian families. And then they'll be like, turns out he's a Nazi and he killed five people. And it's like, okay, so the whole movie's wholesome. And then you link it at the end to some thought sort of pathology or terror or whatever. So yeah, it's very interesting. I'm not big for movies, and maybe it's because of that. You know, maybe it's because I'm so aware of meme memetics and frame and all of the stuff that, man, I struggle with bad movies, you know, because it'll run in my mind for a long time. Infects my psyche. No degeneracy in the timeline, folks, please. So, praise God, gentlemen. What a wonderful time to be alive. A Merry Christmas to you guys. You know, just looking back on this year, finding things to be thankful for, finding things to, you know, just to, you know, part of this whole time as a family, you know, is to just really count our blessings and be like, man, you know, what a time to be alive. You know, how great it is to be alive, and to head into 2022 all pumped. You know, what a year ahead. You know, what are the things we're going to go and attempt and build towards, and, you know, have a nice fresh start and high energy and, you know, getting into that. So God bless you, gentlemen. It's been a fun stream. Write some songs, write some scripts, and, it's time to start putting out some media for our people, some entertainment for our people. You know, that's the other thing. You know, create spaces for people to come to. You know, coffee shops as well are a form of entertainment, theme parks, etc. You know, restaurants and resorts and blah blah blah. But you control the morality, right? You control the morality of those spaces. You control the morality of those stories. You control the morality of those events and experiences. God bless you, gentlemen. Appreciate all of you, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Praise God and Merry Christmas. You've still got a few days left. Thank you, Mr. Max. I am happier for it.